Well, as I said earlier, Chris is out sick today, and so you'll not be hearing about the summit trip because I didn't go. Still a little bitter about it. No, I'm just joking. They did get to go to San Diego, so. So you'll hear about that next Sunday. And then just a plug, in 2 weeks, I'm going to start a new series on battling. Why we battle, who we battle, what we're battling for, those kinds of things. And so it's something that God's been working on in my heart and in my life for about a month now, and I'm excited to get into that. I think it's going to be pretty powerful, a lot of useful things for us. As I said earlier in my prayer, we all have battles that we're fighting, and so I want to give us the resources to battle well and battle the way God would have us battle. So that's what we'll be looking at in a couple weeks. But for today, I was joking with Isaac. I said, you've heard of a Saturday night special. Well, this is a Sunday morning special. But you know, when you stop and listen for God, he speaks. And so I believe he's given me a word for today, and we will follow him where he leads. So I guess I started out thinking about the word resurrection, what that means. And I think, aside from very young children in this room, all of us have experienced a situation where someone that we know and care about has died. And Emma just shared a very real and very recent example of death. And it hurts. We experience real pain and separation when somebody that we care for and love dies. But the reality is, if that person has put their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ, the story of their demise, so to speak, is greatly exaggerated because they're not really dead. Through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. And so while sin is the great enemy and death is the great destroyer of all things, we serve a Lord that has defeated those two foes. Through his death and resurrection, he fought on our behalf and he's won against those two enemies. And so what does that look like for us? What does it look like to live in the resurrection? To not be afraid of this thing called death and this and the grip that sin has on us. What kind of life does that, what does that look like in our lives? And I think Paul has a pretty good idea. Galatians 2, verses 19 and 20. He writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. I think the short answer to what does it look like to live in the resurrection is that it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything. For example, the old me you've never met. That guy's dead. You didn't know the old Manny because I was put to death and I was raised again in Christ. When I put my confidence in Jesus as the Son of God and the resurrected Lord, my old way of living ended. Before I lived with no God. And what that looked like was that my life, my decisions, my habits, my thoughts and my feelings, my daily routine, my response to stress, my relationships, all of these things were based on a world that wasn't ruled by a sovereign and loving God. All of those things were based on a world that wasn't ruled by a sovereign and loving God. And it showed. And the results were less than desirable. Now, I live the with God life. Now I am in intimate fellowship with the Son of God. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a man that lived 2,000 years ago through the almighty, powerful God, creator of all. He's given us a way to have a relationship with his Son. My worth has been established by Jesus because he died for me, so that he could have a relationship with me. My worth has been established. I'm worth dying for. I'm worth defeating death for. I'm worth having a relationship with. And so are you. When you come to a place in your life where you can live in that truth, where you can own that reality that you can have a relationship with Jesus, that you are worth dying for, and that you are worth defeating sin and death for, it fundamentally changes everything. Nothing is the same anymore. You desire different things. You live for a different purpose. Your attitude about little things that go on in the day-to-day life change. That's why they call it transformation, because we become new creatures. The Greek word for transformation is metamorphos. You've heard that word before, metamorphosis. It's the same word that's used to describe a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. It's not just putting on something different. It's not like the caterpillar just puts on some wings. It actually becomes a brand new creature. There's no hint of a caterpillar anymore. It's completely new. And when we put our old selves to death and we are raised again with Christ, none of the old self is there anymore. We're completely new. It changes absolutely everything. And maybe the coolest and most mysterious and hardest to accept part of all of this is that it's free. You don't have to earn it. There's nothing you can do to deserve it. It's simply based on the fact that God loves you. That's it. He loves you, and He created you to be something that through the world and sin you can't be, and so He made a way for you to become it. It's a tongue twister. But I think it's pretty simple. So we don't do anything to deserve it. But Jesus didn't die just to get us into heaven. Jesus didn't die just to get us into heaven. Jesus died to get heaven into us. We don't have to wait for all of the things that He promises us. We can have them now. We can have peace. We can have hope. We can have joy. We can have love. We can have life abundant. Because it changes everything. Our perspective on the world becomes new. We begin to see things not in temporary, temporal vision, but we get to see things eternally. And pretty soon, the little things that bother us and stress us out and make us worry aren't that big of a deal anymore, because in the scope of eternity, they're minute, they're small. They're like a fleck of dust. In one of Paul's most powerful chapters, in one of his most powerful letters, which is Colossians, chapters 3, he starts, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." That's a pretty powerful half of a sentence. Let that sink in for a minute. Let the reality of what Paul is writing sink in. Since you have been raised with Christ. Since you have been raised with Christ. It's not a question in Paul's mind that when you put your hope and trust in Christ, you are changed. You're given a new life. You die to the old self and you're born anew with Christ. And that becomes a very real part of who you are now. It becomes part of the new you. How you live, where you're going to spend eternity, your ethics, and everything you do, including the putting away of sin, the putting on of holiness, and the giving glory to God, all of this is possible and only possible because Jesus and you have been resurrected together. Living in the resurrection. owning your new self. And then the rest of Colossians 3 shows us and tells us how Christians should be as a result of this truth. It says, stop lying, bear each other's burdens, live in harmony, forgive each other, accept everyone. And all of these things are based on our co-resurrection with Jesus. Since you've been raised with Christ, this is what your life ought to look like now. And it's not Paul's list of legalistic rules. It doesn't say you have to do these things to be raised with Christ. He's just saying this is evidence. If you want to know if you've been resurrected with Christ, look at this list. Does your life reflect it? If not, maybe you have a reason to wonder. So, are these fruits, are these things, are these realities of the resurrected life, are they present in your life? Do you see fruit of living in the resurrection in your day-to-day life, in your interaction with other people, in your relationships, behind closed doors, in how you treat your spouse and your children, in how you interact with complete strangers? And the habits that you have, and the words that you say, and the thoughts that cross your mind. Is there evidence of the resurrected life? I think there's a danger in our world. A danger to become really good at looking the part. And I'm not just talking about in the church, but I think it's creeped into the church. But just in life in general. We've gotten really good at putting on our smiley face, pretending like we don't have any problems, and pretending like we have it all together. People do it in the business place. People do it when they're out in the grocery store. They do it in their relationships. We're not vulnerable. We're not real. And pretty soon we fool ourselves into thinking that's who we are. That's why it's so important for us to be in God's Word. And read the things like what Paul writes when it says, if you are really living in the resurrection, these are the things that are going to be happening in your life. So that we can test, am I fooling myself? Or am I really bearing fruit? Is God really working on me from the inside out? And if you think it can't happen, just read the Bible. There's a lot of guys that happened to. They're called the Pharisees. They were pretty sure that they were doing everything God wanted them to do. And then Jesus showed up and said, man, you guys got it wrong. Ask the hard questions of yourself. Give other people permission to ask the hard questions of you. Pray to God to reveal the areas in your life that you're not letting Him transform you in. So that you can live in the fullness of resurrection rather than just having little pieces of it in different parts of your life. The glorious truth of the resurrection is that we can now put death to sin. We can now put death to sin. We can trust that our lives are hidden with Jesus. And that they're safe and secure. We can build our lives on the promise of eternal life because Jesus paid and paved the way. And He's now seated at the right hand of the Father praying for us. Read Colossians 3. It's pretty powerful. Did you know that Jesus prays for us? It says it in Colossians 3. Jesus prays on our behalf. He petitions the Father. So what are you facing today? What are you facing today? What is your battle? What's that thing that's going on in your life that nobody knows about, that you struggle with day in and day out? That you're afraid somebody might find out, that they might think less of you, that they might judge you. That you don't think anybody else has ever experienced. At least not on the level that you are. What's the thing that you're facing? Is there trouble in your family? Are you having financial hardships? Are you dealing with loss? Maybe of a person, or relationship, or a job, or even a dream? The resurrection is the answer. Living in the fullness of the resurrection is the answer because it changes absolutely everything. It gives you a fresh and new perspective to see things from eternity. In Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, he reconciled the world. He overcame its evil with good. And now he stands as the ultimate reality, the truth about our world. That whatever we face, we don't face it alone. We have the one who rules and reigns in the heavens on our side. He prays for us, and he will see that in the end, we laugh until it hurts. Isn't that cool? That God desires our joy. He wants good for us. He wants to fulfill the abundant life promise that he makes through his Son. But we have to accept it. We have to receive it. We have to walk in it. We have to humble our desire to fix it on our own and let him come into our lives and truly change it. Since Jesus is now the person of authority, nothing can prevent our access to God. That's a cool truth. Because Jesus is now the person of authority, because the power is now his, because he's defeated anything that ever could separate us from God, he's won that battle. There's nothing left that can prevent our access to God. Nothing. Nothing you can do. Nothing anyone can do to you can prevent your access to God. So you know what I say to that? Take advantage of that access. Don't take it for granted. Use that. Live in that. We can now live without insecurity. Insecurity about our salvation or about the final outcome of existence as we know it. There's a lot of fear going on about the end of the world. And I think that's probably happens with every generation. But the reality is that God gets the last word. And when he created the world, he said it was good. And then when he sent his Son, he said, that's my Son, and I love him. And so at the end, why do we have any reason to doubt that it's going to be good again? As Christians, we tend to put a lot of focus on the cross. We wear crosses on our necks, we get cross tattoos, we have cross t-shirts, and there's just crosses everywhere. But we don't pay very much attention to the resurrection. But I think we need to. Without the resurrection, evil would have won. It wasn't his death that defeated evil. It was his resurrection. If he would have stayed dead, he was just another guy. The resurrection is God's big yes to the world. Do you love me? Yes. Am I worth it? Yes. Is it going to be okay? Yes. Without the resurrection in your life, evil's hold on you is not yet loosened. Our salvation, our eternity, our security in Christ are not based on knowing the history of Jesus. Because you know he lived, because you know he died, because you know he was raised again, does not mean you are saved. Knowing his history is not enough. Our salvation and our security are found in living in the here and now with Jesus. The putting to death our old self and being raised brand new, that's where our hope is found. And if you know this reality, I pray that you live in it every day. That you soak it in. And like any other reality, we can become accustomed to it, and we can find complacency in it. So my prayer for you is that that doesn't happen. That you remember the awesomeness of living in the resurrection. And if you don't know this reality, my prayer is that you explore it, that you seek it, that you ask questions, that you look in Scripture, that you pray. And if at any time you would like to have a conversation, it would be my absolute pleasure to help you find answers to your questions. But I'm absolutely convinced that the kind of life that God calls us to is to live in the resurrection. And when we do that, our perspective changes. Everything becomes brand new. And the hope and the joy and the love and the peace and all of the other things that are promised through Christ become very real. And they're not just things we talk about anymore. They're things that we can truly experience and touch and feel and live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the reality that is the resurrection. For that one moment in history that defeated death, that defeated sin, that conquered anything that could separate us from the Father. And Lord, I pray as we continue to process this thing called life and learn the best way to live it, that we would take full advantage of that freedom to approach the throne of grace, to talk to you in prayer, to do life with you, to allow you to change us, to not be fooled by the masks that we wear, the facades that we put on, but to truly get down to the core of who we are, so that you can begin to work and make us new. And Lord, I pray that as we become new, we would share that with others, and that your love would continue to spread, and that the hope that we have in eternity would be passed on to others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.